Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Necessary Roughness podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports, as always. I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, and welcome to episode 16 as the season begins to come to a close. It's getting real interesting for a lot of people, and real disinteresting for people whose teams are starting to flounder, but it's all good. We're approaching the playoffs. It's exciting. Hope you all had a wonderful week. As we're approaching the holiday season as well, happy Hanukkah to everyone out there. I know I've enjoyed the first four nights and looking forward to the next four. Thank you for spending this part of your weekend with us, as always. Join us every weekend, Saturday afternoons, the best podcast that I've ever hosted. Anyway, let's start episode 16 by breaking down last week's games with this week's edition of Knicks Standout 7. Number one is a bit of a carryover from last week, and in the worst way possible. Last week we were debating if the Philadelphia Eagles are vulnerable, or discussing how they are vulnerable since they lost to the Seahawks. Well, in their game against the Los Angeles Rams, which they went on to win, they lost MVP candidate Carson Wentz to a knee injury, and he is done for the year. So I would say they've gone from vulnerable to in trouble, as they're running Nick Foles out there at quarterback now. Now, Nick Foles has proven in the past to, at times, be a competent NFL quarterback. And this team is so talented that they should still be able to at least make some noise in the postseason. That being said, they still could go down in the divisional game just because he doesn't offer the versatility that Carson Wentz does. The elusiveness, the mobility, the it factor, if you will. The intangibles are there for Wentz, and he's just an impressive player all around. Let's see if Foles can fill in. It shouldn't be the toughest task in the world, as he has the New York Giants this week, and the Giants are not having their best season, to say the least. That being said, they're playing for pride. They're playing under an interim head coach, so this could be a bit of a tough one for them. Number two in my standout seven is a bit of an overarching reevaluation, if you will. We got to take a look at the NFC again, because the one seed just lost their best player. If we take a look, playoffs end right now, you know I love to do this. Philly at the one, Minnesota at the two, back by one game from them, the Rams at the three, tied with the Saints at the four, tied with the Panthers at the five, then the Falcons sit at 8-5, they're the sixth seed. Seahawks also 8-5, but they are on the outside looking in. Now, without Carson Wentz, I would argue that any of these teams could take down the Philadelphia Eagles. Not that Nick Foles is incompetent, as I said, but Nick Foles doesn't have the versatility. I don't think he'll have the chemistry immediately with these guys. I think they're going to have to change up the playbook a little bit because they can't capitalize on the mobility that they used to have in Wentz. And I think you're going to see a couple more sacks because Foles is not nearly as elusive, as I mentioned. So that leaves me wondering, who is the best team in the NFC? Now, you have the Vikings rolling with Case Keenum. They're a strong team. Right now, outside of the Eagles, they have the best record in the NFC. Talent-wise, it could be them, but they've been hit by some injuries as well. Remember, Keenum, while playing well, is still a backup at heart, in my opinion at least. They don't have Dalvin Cook. They're missing a few other players. The Rams are sitting at 9-4, but they're not really proven. The Saints are 9-4, but I think they're overachieving. The Panthers are 9-4, but that receiving core is a little suspect. The Falcons are 8-5, but they were a little suspect to start the season, though they seem to be rounding into form at least a little bit, as they took down the Saints last week. And then you have Seattle creeping at 8-5, and I've been hazy on them all year, but you want to talk about experience and players that have done it, but they don't have Richard Sherman. An already muddy and interesting NFC playoff picture just got even dirtier. Right now, the matchups would be Falcons-Rams in LA and Panthers-Saints in New Orleans. Sign me up for that. It's going to be a great NFC playoff push. But just to put an answer to it, aside from the Eagles, I would say the best team in the NFC right now, for my money, is still Minnesota. You could make the argument that Minnesota is the best team in the entire NFC, because I would certainly take Keenum over Foles. That's just me. I wasn't sold on Foles the first time around. I think he's competent, but I don't think he's 27 touchdowns to two picks. It was pretty fluky, trust me. We'll see how it goes. They're going to go with him. The backup quarterback is now going to be Nate Sudfeld. He was a third stringer previously. Hopefully, he doesn't have to come in because if they have to go to the third string quarterback, it's going to get real suspect. But the only thing I know is that the NFC just got a whole lot more interesting, even though it was already the more interesting conference, in my opinion. Number three, the Chiefs finally snapped out of their skid and beat the Raiders last week, but the LA Chargers put a beat down on the Washington Redskins, and right now they are tied for the lead in that division. Chiefs ahead by tiebreaker via NFL.com, but the tiebreaker doesn't matter when the Chiefs and Chargers play today, not tomorrow. You heard that. You heard me correct. They play today, 8:25 in Kansas City. Well, I'm not going to spoil the preview, but I'm just going to say that the Chargers are coming on hot. Chargers have won four games in a row. They beat down the Bills with their Nathan Peterman experiment that lasted a half. They beat down the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. They beat the Browns predictably, and then they beat down the Redskins. The Chiefs are coming off a series of losses and one, albeit a good one, win over the Raiders. And the Raiders are still in this, by the way. Raiders are sitting at 6-7. They're not too far off. If we take a look at the remaining games, the Raiders take on the Cowboys tomorrow, Sunday night. Then they take on Philly next Monday night on Christmas. That would have been a huge game if Wentz was playing. I think the Raiders might be able to steal it since he's not. Early thoughts, not a prediction, but anyway. And they end the season against these Chargers. On the other hand, the Chargers have the Chiefs game tomorrow. Then the New York Jets, who are without Josh McCown for the remainder of the season. And then the Raiders. The Chiefs have the Dolphins and Broncos after their Chargers game. So I think if it comes down to a talent portion, the Chiefs have always been the better team, at least this season. I was high on the Raiders to start the year, but they hit the ground with a thud and slowly picked up steam, but not enough steam, obviously, as they're a game back with three to play, which isn't out of reach, but that being said, not exactly where you want to be. I think the Chargers and their momentum might be able to sneak into the postseason. The Chargers are tied with the Ravens and Bills at 7-6 for the sixth seed in the playoffs, but I think their eyes are on the division as they should be. If the Chargers win tomorrow, ball's in their court. Number four in the standout, seven is a classic trap game, and I shouldn't have overlooked it. I overlooked it just as hard as they did. The New England Patriots went into Miami and found a way to lose to the Dolphins. Dolphins have 6 wins. Cutler goes for 3 touchdowns. Kenyon Drake runs for over 100 and leads the team with 79 receiving yards. Great game from him. Brady, an underwhelming 24 for 43 performance, 2 picks, virtually invisible running game. No big producers in the receiving core on that night, led by Danny Amendola. But is anyone really concerned? That's the question. Right now, New England leads Jacksonville by a game for the 2 seed. So they're in a pretty good position. That being said, they do have the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. And that is the game of the week. Although, the more I think about it, Chargers Chiefs is going to be a fun one. But Steelers Patriots, though. Come on, Steelers Patriots Heinz Field. Now, number five is let's talk about the Steelers game last week. And the Steelers played the Baltimore Ravens, and they barely won that one. It was a great game, as most Steelers Raven game are. 39-38. You know, Pittsburgh rattled off 19 in the fourth quarter. Baltimore rattled off 17 in the third quarter. Phenomenal. You know, Big Ben goes out there and throws for 500 yards, throws the ball 65 times. Antonio Brown racks up 200 receiving yards. Jesse James, the tight end, had 10 catches. You take a look at it and it was an interesting game. It was a fun game to watch. It really was. But the thing that concerns me about these Pittsburgh Steelers is almost Giants-like. And I hate that everything comes back to this, but that's my area of expertise, obviously. Not that I'm a novice on everything else, but I watch more in-depth, or I did in the past, the New York Giants. And one of the things under Tom Coughlin that they did, and I think it correlates because Tom Coughlin was a great coach, a great motivator, but he was there for so long that the message started to get a little stale. And I fear that that might be what's happening here. What I'm talking about is they play down to their competition. Now, the Giants were guilty of this for years. They'd get up for big games and they'd sleep through the little games. You know, you look back at when they started hot the year after they won the Super Bowl, I believe it was 2008. They get off hot and then they lose to the Cleveland Browns. And then, you know, the whole ordeal with Plaxico Burress, and that tanks the whole season. And you take a look at the fact that they started, I believe it was 0-5 or 0-6 before ending the year 6-10. And they had that big game with the Panthers, who were phenomenal that year. And the Giants were going blow for blow with them with Norman and OBJ. And you look at the fact that the team is more than talented enough to keep up with anyone. And they should beat down some of these teams. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers barely beat the Colts, and now they barely beat the Ravens. Well, I don't know if they're going to be able to sleepwalk through the first half of this week's game against the Patriots, or give up 17 and a quarter and still be okay. Now, the Steelers' offense is explosive. In terms of top three talent, it's the best in the league. Big Ben, Hall of Fame quarterback, Le'Veon Bell, one of the top five running backs in the league, depending on how you rank him, and Antonio Brown, one of the top five receivers. Productivity-wise, the number one receiver. You match that up against the big three running out in New England, and I'm probably going to take Pittsburgh. In terms of top three talent, I think top three talent for New England, in my opinion, would likely be Brady, Gronk, Cooks. Cooks is a great receiver. He really is, but he's not Antonio Brown. Gronk brings a lot to the game, but Bell can go multifaceted. And Brady versus Roethlisberger. I'll take Brady, but it's closer than one would think. So the underlying point, as I said, it's concerning that they play down to their competition. Especially considering right now, they are the one seed in the AFC. So if you play down to your competition, when you go out there in the divisional round and you have to match up with the sneaking into the playoffs, Kansas City Chiefs, or the red hot Chargers, if they overtake them, you're going to be in a bit of a pickle, aren't you? Because that team's going to come in rolling and they're going to try and punch you in the mouth immediately. And if you come out flat in the playoffs, not a good look. Number six in the standout seven is the retirement of Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was one of the all-time great college players. Offensively, at least. I was going to say running backs, but he was a phenomenal receiver as well, and that played a big role in him getting taken high in the draft. He was also phenomenal at special teams. He was just one of the better players I've ever seen, explosiveness-wise. You take a look at his collegiate statistics in 3 seasons. The first season, he didn't really get the ball as much. In 2 core seasons, he tallied over 3,500 yards from scrimmage, 31 touchdowns, and in those years, he also ran back 3 punts for touchdowns. The guy was explosive, elusive, very fun to watch, to be honest. Then you had some injury issues when he was in New Orleans, maybe taken a little bit higher than he should have been. His second year, he had a fumbling problem, 7 fumbles. That is never a good thing. And he ran for over 1,000 yards twice in his career. His first year in Miami, just missed it his second year in Miami, and then his first year in Detroit. But since 2014, he hasn't really gotten touches, and he just kind of fell off the map. Yeah, and he ended his last season in Buffalo with 12 carries in 13 games for -3 yards. Luckily, he had 90 receiving yards, otherwise, he would have had negative yards from scrimmage on a whole season. Where he played in more than 10 games. You know, I don't think I've ever seen that before. It had to have happened at least once, but I can't think of one. I honestly can't. Bush was a big part of that explosive Saints offense, both out of the backfield and receiving, predominantly, you know, shifting around everywhere. It sucks to see him go, you know. They made him give back his Heisman and stuff like that, and I think he could have had a great career. But it just happened to not play out his way between injuries and just not fitting into certain systems. He wasn't necessarily an every down back because it's hard for him to run between the tackles every play. You had to stretch him to the outside. I think if he would have wound up in a scheme where he was a dual back, which did happen, but it is what it is. Just wanted to take a moment to remember the phenomenal talent of Reggie Bush, more so than the phenomenal career. Now we're going to end Knicks standout 7 at 6 in a little bit of an unorthodox manner. When I set out to write him this week, I said, you know what, I'm just going to preview the New England-Pittsburgh game as number 6, and then we'll end with Reggie. But I think we're going to skip that, get right into the picks. You know, we're coming off an awful week 14. Awful. 4-12. If you count the Thursday night game, which I usually don't because I usually get them wrong, 4-13. Let's jump right into week 15's picks. I got to get the taste of failure out of my mouth. It's not a good time. And the first game of week 15 is Bears at Lions at 4:30 today. That is T-minus about 2 hours from now, probably a little bit less. And they're going to kick in Detroit. And I think I'm going to keep this one simple. I'm going to take Detroit. Detroit at home against the Bears. The Bears have been competitive all season. The Bears could easily go in and sneak this one. I think they're a good team, not a great team. But I think Detroit's a little bit better, a little bit more explosive, and they're at home. Give me the Lions. Now, our second part of the Saturday doubleheader is one of the bigger games of the week in terms of playoff implications and in terms of matchup. It is Chargers at Chiefs. Now, as I said, the Chiefs are sleepwalking into this one, but they're still the better team. But the Chargers have all the momentum. Game is in Kansas City, 8:30 p.m. game, 8:25, excuse me. I'm taking the Chargers. I think Phil Rivers and this squad, with the momentum they have, are going to walk in and shock the Chiefs at home. I really do. I'm not confident in the way the Chiefs are playing right now. I picked them for weeks to turn it around. You know, you beat the Raiders, good for you, but the Raiders aren't what they were going to be. Give me the Chargers in this one. Our first Sunday game is Eagles at Giants from the Meadowlands. Eagles being led by Nick Foles, as I mentioned before. And I think there's going to be some growing pains in this game. I think the New York Giants are going to come out, and they came out competitive with Dallas last week before they just floundered in the second half, as they have all season. That being said, playing for an interim head coach, trying to give the fans one thing to take away from this season. The Chiefs game was good, but the Chiefs were losing to everybody during that stretch. I think they really play their hearts out, and I think Foles makes some key mistakes as this team starts to taper off. Give me the Giants to upset Philly. Next, we have the Bengals at the Minnesota Vikings. The Bengals having a decent season, the Vikings having a phenomenal one. Vikings at home trying to hold on to that 2-seed, just a 1-game lead, and I think they do. I think they'll beat down the Bengals. I think Andy Dalton makes a few mistakes and the ball goes back the other way. Maybe a pick six, maybe some fumbles here and there, though the Bengals' offensive talent has been fairly impressive this year. People have undersold them. I think offensive line issues have plagued them a bit as they lost Andrew Whitworth in the offseason. Nonetheless, their offense has been pretty talented. I think this game could be close, but I'll take Case Keenum to hold on and keep the Vikings in this. And if the Eagles lose, this will help the Vikings push for a 1 seed in the postseason. Just a reminder, folks, the Super Bowl's in Minnesota this year. No team has ever played a home Super Bowl. Next, we have an AFC North bout between the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Now, the tension is killing me, as it is likely killing you. Thinking about if these Cleveland Browns are actually bad enough to lose an entire season. A statistic the other day from ESPN, there have been 3 Star Wars movies released in the time that the Browns have had 1 victory. That's shocking. That's hard to do. It really is. It's hard to be that bad. And I think they keep it up. I think the Ravens win this one because the Ravens are trying to stay in the playoff hunt. They are tied via record with Buffalo and San Diego and the Chiefs, technically. They don't have the tiebreaker right now, but Buffalo doesn't have their quarterback anymore, and the Chargers and Chiefs are going to beat up on each other. I think Baltimore tries to sneak into the postseason. Next, we have a battle between 2 middle-of-the-pack teams. To be blunt, neither team's making the postseason, and neither team's really good enough to. Cardinals at Redskins. Just a reminder, the Cardinals are without Adrian Peterson this week. I believe he is done for the year with a neck injury, though he does intend to come back. That being said, no starting quarterback, no backup running back at this point. Cardinals are still a talented squad, but give me the Redskins at home to defend Washington and win a game that should be fairly entertaining, albeit with low, low impact on the season as a whole. Next, we have Packers at Panthers. Now, this game is only mildly interesting because Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Aaron Rodgers is set to make his return on the road against Cam Newton in what could be a playoff preview. That being said, the Falcons are currently 8-5. Seattle is 8-5. They're tied for the sixth seed. And there are three teams sitting at 7-6: Detroit, Green Bay, and Dallas. Now, with Rodgers coming back, I think the Packers steal this one off sheer momentum of getting their star back. Do I think they're a much better team than Carolina? I do not. I really do not. But I think the momentum drives them, and Carolina has been prone to disappointment this year. They really have. They've let down when it matters most, and I think they let down in this game. Next, we have Jets at Saints. You know, a lot of these have been 60-second picks unofficially, like the Ravens Browns. I'll give this one the official 60-second pick tag. Jets Saints, Jets without Josh McCown. They're running Bryce Petty out there. I was a fan of Petty in college. Haven't really seen too much from him in the NFL, and I don't think this is a great time for him to get thrown into the fire. Give me the Saints, probably by two scores. Keeping it in the AFC East, we have Dolphins at Bills next. Bills without their starting quarterback. Give me the Dolphins to go in there. They're riding high after a victory over the New England Patriots, shockingly enough. And somehow, in this tumultuous injury-plagued season, the Dolphins are technically still in it. They're only a game back of the sixth seed. Wouldn't that be interesting if they find a way to sneak into the postseason? Our final 1 o'clock game is an AFC South matchup, Texans at Jaguars. The Jaguars come in as the 3 seed in the AFC at 9-4, 2-game bump over the 4 seed, only a 1-game lead over the Titans though. Titans are hot on their tail. Texans still without a quarterback, obviously. These things don't change. Watson's out for the year. Give me the Jaguars to win this one in a game that will probably be closer than it should. Our lone 405 kick in Seattle is a good one. Rams at Seahawks. Now, I've been high on the Rams all year, but the Seahawks are coming on strong lately. They defended their home turf, even without Sherman, even through it all against Carson Wentz and the Eagles. Now, we saw last week that the Rams ran with the Eagles, but wound up losing even though Wentz got hurt. So, are the Rams good enough to go into Seattle and beat this team? Could this be symptomatic of a little changing of the guard, showing that the Rams are going to be here for a while? They're going to be serious. Seattle's on the outside looking in right now. A victory over the Rams would be huge because it would give them the tiebreaker and the teams would both be 9-5. So then the Rams would be on the outside looking in. That'd be a tragic end of the year, though it would still be a successful one if you're a Rams fan. I think the Rams go in and win this game. They were close with Seattle earlier in the year in LA, and I know it's tougher to win on the road, but this team has shown that they can roll with the big dogs, and I think this week they beat one of the big dogs. You know, they lost to Minnesota. They lost to Philly, but it was close. I think they go in and beat Seattle. Now, I'm not too confident in this pick. I'm not going to lie to you. Russell Wilson has been playing great. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I don't pick against him too often. When I pick against Seattle, it isn't because of him, so I'm a little weary to do it this time, but give me Jared Goff in this one. Why not? Our first 425 kick is Titans 49ers. I'm not going to waste anyone's time. Give me the Titans. The 49ers are rebuilding with Jimmy G, and Jimmy G has looked pretty decent in his first few games. Kudos to Kyle Shanahan for getting his man. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, that is. That being said, the Titans are actually in the playoff push, and I think they come out and hit him and hit him hard. Next, we have our 425 game of the week, Patriots at Steelers. Now, I don't know which way to lean. I said before, if we're going top three, I think the Steelers are better. I think the Pats are better defensively. I think the Steelers play down to their competition, but that being said, they could also play up to a team like this. They are good enough to do it. They have a 1-game lead currently for the 1 seed in the AFC, but I have to take the Patriots. Trust me, I don't want to take the Patriots. You know that. But I have to. Tommy's going to go in there, and Tommy's always played particularly well in these head-to-head matchups with Ben. I don't think that Pittsburgh offense flounders. I don't think it's like last AFC championship game. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is going to be playing in this one, and hopefully everyone stays healthy throughout the whole game. If we take a look at the injury report, Malcolm Butler limited in practice, Stephon Gilmore limited in practice. I think they'll play and they'll be fine. This is just New England being New England. You know, Joe Hayden, limited participation. Juju Smith-Schuster, limited. Marquise Pouncey. I'm hazy, I really am. Hayden and Smith-Schuster are questionable. A lot of questionable names on there for New England. Gilmore, David Harris, Trey Flowers, Chris Hogan, and the like. I'm a little hazy. I really am. Because if Gilmore doesn't go, this New England secondary is going to be undermanned against a good receiving core, a great receiving core, and the best receiver in the league. And you don't want to be undermanned against the best receiver in the league. But I think he will go. And I think New England wins this one. And my hot take on it, I think it's not going to be as interesting as we want it to be. Similar to last year's AFC Championship game, I just think this game might not live up to its expectations. And you might say, Nick, you didn't sound like that when you were talking about it during the first block. Well, I've been thinking about it as we go, and I think New England might kick it into another gear for this one. Our next game is Cowboys at Raiders. Cowboys still in it. Raiders still in it. Raiders back by a game for their division. Cowboys back by one game for the wild card. This is a huge game in Oakland. That's important because I think the Raiders are going to come out and win this one. As I've said, 7-6, not exactly where you thought they'd be when the season started, considering they were fighting for a one seed last year. That being said, Oakland is still a very talented squad. Marshawn Lynch has had a pretty decent comeback season coming out of nowhere. Nobody thought he'd be back, but he's been essentially Marshawn Lynch. You know, he hasn't had the stats. He hasn't had a phenomenal season statistics-wise. You know, 600 rushing yards isn't going to knock anyone's socks off. But he's averaging 4 yards a carry. He's doing his job. He's doing Marshawn Lynch things. He brought the swagger back. And I think the reason I mentioned Lynch is because I think he's going to have a pretty big game this game. Sunday night, big game in Oakland in front of his hometown fans. They really need this one. I think Lynch busts off for 120 and the Raiders bring this one home. Next on Monday night, the Falcons take on the Bucks. And I've bashed the Bucks at every turn this season because I thought they'd be great and they let me down. But the Falcons are right in it, and the Bucs didn't look awful last week. They really didn't. The Bucs almost upset the Detroit Lions, and I say upset, though they're close in talent. I don't know about this one. Anytime I lean towards the Bucs, I get a little bit gun-shy nowadays, so give me the Falcons. Give me the Falcons to hold on to that sixth seed in the NFC playoff hunt. Folks, that'll bring us to the end of this week's pick'em portion, but we got to pick two games next week. No more Thursday night football, so your Thursday nights, you're free to watch whatever you like on television. But there are two Saturday games, and I'll pick the Saturday games in advance, just in case. I know we come out Saturdays about 2:30, between 2:30 and 3 every single time, but you never know. So let's pick next Saturday's game, shall we? The first game is a battle for Baltimore, Colts at Ravens, 4:30 p.m. in Baltimore. And I'll take the Ravens in this one. I was a little disappointed in the way the Colts played last week. I picked them for an upset. They let me down. I was also a little disappointed in the way the Colts played this past Thursday, just 2 days ago, against the Broncos. Kind of floundered a little bit. So they're going in, two-game losing streak, into Baltimore. Baltimore's playing for something. The Colts really aren't. Give me Baltimore. Next, we have the first in a long line of great games next week. Vikings at Packers. Rodgers is back. 8:30 p.m. Lambeau, December the 23rd. And I'm picking Rodgers to go in and beat Carolina this week. And that'll keep the Packers in the hunt. But I think the Vikings next week go into Green Bay, put their foot down, and show why they're the number two seed. Or by then, they might be the number one seed in the NFC. I think the Vikings are much better defensively. Offensively, they're more comparable than people like to admit. Rodgers clearly is a better quarterback than Case Keenum, but in the receiving core, Adam Thielen, underrated. Stephon Diggs, overlooked. Kyle Rudolph, one of the better tight ends in the league. Latavius Murray in the backfield, serviceable to say the least. I think the Vikings go in and win that one in a slobber knocker. Good old-fashioned gritty game. I don't think Rodgers will win this one with another fluky Hail Mary for a playoff run, and I think the Vikings winning that one will serve to essentially eliminate these Green Bay Packers. Considering right now there are two other teams at 7-6 and two teams at 8-5. So you're going to need at least 9 wins to get in, and I think they're going to be topping out at 9 wins because the Vikings are going to take them down. All right, folks, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Necessary Roughness podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. Thank you for joining us. Hope your teams do well this week, and I hope you've had a great start to the holiday season. Hope you're looking forward to some great presents from Santa and some great football as well. As always, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, signing off.